Today's daf is Menachas Daf Tzadik Vav, and we are at the Mishnah, five lines from the top of Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph. Zok the Mishnah, Chavite Koyen Gadol, the Minchas Chavitin that the Koyen Gadol used to bring every day, Machtzisa Baboiker, half in the morning, Machtzisa Ba'erev, and half in the evening, Lishason, Va'arichason, Va'afiyason Befnif. In other words, in the previous Mishnah, we had a three-way machloikis, the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, exactly where the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem HaPanim were prepared. Did they have to be prepared in a klishares inside the Azara, or were they dafka prepared outside of the Azara? Says the Mishnah, that machloikis is only with regards to the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem HaPanim. But as it relates to the Minchas Chavitin, everybody agrees. Lishasan, the kneading, Va'arichasan, the forming, Va'afiyasan, and the baking, all had to be done inside the Azara. Additionally, V'doichas Es HaShabbos, the Doichas Shabbos, Chinasan, V'har Kodasan, stating that, but grinding the wheat to have the flour for the Minchas Chavitin, V'har Kodasan, or sifting it, which also involved Melechah Shabbos, Toichin and Merakid respectively, Einan Doiches Es HaShabbos. They're not Doiches Shabbos. Why? Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. This is one of the many places in Shas where the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva, who said, Kol Melacha She'ef Shal Asayis Amer of Shabbos, Einan Doiches Es HaShabbos. Any Melacha that can be done before Shabbos is not Doiches Shabbos. It's only V'she'ef Shal Asayis Amer of Shabbos. A Melacha that cannot be done before Shabbos, it's then that's Doiches HaShabbos. So although it's true that Minchas Chavitin technically was Doiches Shabbos, but only aspects of it that had to be done on Shabbos. So for example, the Lisha, the Aricha, and the Afia had to be done on Shabbos. Why? Because being that they were done on the Klisharis, had it been done Erev Shabbos, they would have became Pasul Belina. But the Toichin and the Merakid, which did not have to be done on Shabbos, will not be Doiches Shabbos. So this is, even though the Minchas Chavitin is Doiches Shabbos, but Rabbi Akiva's Shita is only the components that have to be done on Shabbos. But the components that do not have to be done on Shabbos will not be Doiches Shabbos. Where else has Rabbi Akiva come up in Shas? In Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. Mila is Doiches Shabbos. But Rabbi Akiva says only parts of Mila that have to be done bismanai. So for example, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're allowed to cut a branch to make a knife on Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's something that you could have done on Erev Shabbos. Mila itself, which has to be done by Yom HaShmini, so that's a dover she'ef shal asoyis mi'erev Shabbos. That's going to be Doiches Shabbos. But any component of a melacha that's Doiches Shabbos, if that particular component could have been done before Shabbos, the halacha is it's not Doiches Shabbos. Another halacha, kol ha-menachos, all menachos, meaning not the shtei halachim, the lachim upon him, not even the minchas chavitin, but your typical ordinary mincha, the halacha is yesh behem ma'isa kli b'fnim ve'em behem ma'isa kli b'chutz. They had to be done in a klisharis, all the preparation, and it had to be done b'fnim. Shtei halachim, another halacha, arkon shiva tfachim, it was seven tfachim long, each one of the breads, v'rach they were four tfachim wide, and they had corners. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. And each corner, four corners, were four etzbois. So it was seven tfachim long by four tfachim wide, plus there were four corners. Each one was four etzbois. Lechem aponim, archon yud, was ten tfachim long. V'rachban he tfachim, five tfachim wide. V'karnoisa, they too had corners. And the corners were sheva etzbois, they were seven etzbois. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, shaloi tita. A good way to remember, so Rabbi Yehuda ha yonoisim behem simonim. What were the simonim? Zadad yahaz. Zadad is the shtei halechem. Zayin, seven tfachim long. Dalid, four tfachim wide, and dalit, each one of the karnos, each one of the corners, were four etzbois. As it relates to the second simon, that's referring to the lechem aponim. It was yud hey. It was 10 long by 5 wide, and the zayin was also referring to the corners. Each one was seven tfachim. So this is clearly Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasei. Rabbi Yehuda in the Gadol Shel Pesach was hayonoisim hem simonim detzach hadash biachav. So clearly that wasn't a one-off Rabbi Yehuda, where one time Rabbi Yehuda was noisim hem simonim. But this clearly was minhagai shel Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda here too gave simonim zadad yahaz ben zayim. Ben zayim says v'nasata al shulchan lechem panim l'fanai tam. The Torah refers to the lechem as lechem aponim. So why is it called lechem aponim? Says ben zayim lechem panim sheyil loy panim. Pasha, it sounds like it should have panim. Should have a face. So Rashi says two pshatim. What that means? One pshat Rashi says defanos. We're going to see later in the Mishnah that the way the Lechem Apanim were made, they were folded over. So if you've seen a picture of Lechem Apanim, you know they had two walls on the two sides of the Lechem Apanim. So those two walls, the defanos is the panim. Mishnah Achrina, another pshat, Rashi says, Sheyeheloi Pinim. It's not Lechem Hapanim, it's Lechem Hapinim. Sheyeheloi Pinim Zavias. It had corners. Vehein Hein Akronis. Those are the corners that the Mishnah just referred to. Hashulchan. Archayud Verach Vechamisha. The Shulchan was 10 tfachim long by 5 tfachim wide. Lechem Hapanim. Archayud Verach Behe. The Lechem Hapanim was also 10 tfachim long by 5 tfachim wide. Now, the Lechem Hapanim were set up. It was Yud Beis Chalois, and there were two marachis. There were two piles. Each one had 6. Now, if the Lechem Hapanim had the same dimensions as the Shulchan is 10 by 5, and each one of the breads is 10 by 5, so how in the world are you going to have two piles of Lechem Hapanim? One pile you could have. The Lechem Hapanim is the exact same size as the Shulchan. So it says the Mishnah, the way it was done was Noisen Archai Keneged Rachbei Shol Shulchan. You took the length of the Lechem Hapanim, which is 10 tfachim, and you put it along the width of the Shulchan, which was 5 tfachim. But that doesn't work because the length of the Lechem Hapanim is twice the size as the width of the Shulchan. So here's the punchline. You created two walls on the Lechem Hapanim. Each wall was 2.5 tvachim. If each wall is 2.5 tvachim, so now the length of the Lechem Hapanim after you created these two walls, these two folds, so now it was only 5 tvachim. So what you did was, is you made from the Lechem Hapanim, which was really 10 by 5, a bread that was 5 by 5, by virtue of the fact that the 10 turned into 5, because now you have two walls, each one is 2.5 tvachim. 2.5 plus 2.5 is 5, so 10 minus the two 2.5s, you're left with 5 by 5. So you can line up the two 5 by 5s on the shulchan, which is 10 by 5. And the way you do that is by aligning the length of the Lechem Hapanim, which is now 5, along the width of the Shulchan, which is also 5. Either way, Nimtza says the Mishnah, Archai Memala Rachbei Shol Shulchan. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Zayat Rabbi Yehuda Ramei. Amir Ramei says, HaShulchan Archai Yud Beis V'Rachbei Vav. The Shulchan had different dimensions. It was not 10 by 5, but rather it was 12 by 6. Lechem Aponim Archai Yud V'Rachbei Hei. Rabbi Meir doesn't argue with regards to the dimensions of the Lechem Hapanim. So the Shulchan was 12 by 6, the Lechem Hapanim was 10 by 5. So how did you fit the two rows of Lechem Hapanims on the Shulchan? Noisen Archa Keneged Rachbei Shol Shulchan. Again, you took the length of the Lechem Hapanim, which is 12, and you aligned it with the width of the Shulchan, which was 5. The way to do that would be by being Koifel Tvachayim Mikan Utvachayim Mikan. So instead of making walls that are 2.5 each, the walls were only 2 each. Thus, the Lechem Hapanim went from being 10 by 5 to 6 by 5, because each one of the breads has two walls. Each wall is tfachayim, it's 2 tefachs. So it's 10 minus 2 minus 2. So now you end up with 6 by 5 that has to be lined up with the Shulchan, which is 12 by 6. And the way it was lined up was, now you're going to have the 6 is lined up against the 6 because the length of the Lechem Hapanim is against the width of the Shulchan. And you're going to end up with 2 tfachim in between the two breads. Now, what was the purpose of having the 2 tfachim in between the two breads? Like this, the wind will be able to blow. You want separation between the piles of breads because otherwise it can make the bread spoil. It wasn't just there so that there could be ear, there could be room there, but rather the purpose of it was to be able to put the shnei bezichel avoyna. So they told Abishol, is that where you put the shnei bezichel avoyna? Doesn't the that the two bezichel avoyna was supposed to be on the top of the two marachos, on top of the actual breads. It's true, it says v'nasata ala mareches levoyna zako. But arei kfar nema, there's another pasuk that says v'olav mati menashe, that Ephraim was on Menashe. Is that what it means? That Shevet Ephraim was olav literally on Menashe? No, what it means is next to Menashe. So too, when it says v'nasata ala mareches levoyna, it doesn't mean literally on the marocho, but rather what it means is next to the marocho. So either way, the Mishnah Mishnah saying a chiddush with regards to the lechem apanim, that the breads had to be folded. And the reason they had to be folded was because they had to have these two marochos, these two piles of breads, they had to somehow fit on the shulchan, and there was no way to get it to fit on the shulchan. And although there's a machloikas remaining, Rabbi Yehuda, exactly what the dimensions of the shulchan were, was the shulchan 10 by 5, or was the shulchan 12 by 6, but regardless, the lechem apanim was definitely 10 by 5. And there's no way to get two breads that are 10 by 5 to fit on a shulchan that's either 10 by 5 or 12 by 6. So you were mukhrach, you had absolutely no choice but to fold the breads. How much were they folded? According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two walls. Each wall was 2.5 tefachim. According to Rabbi Meir, there were two walls. Each wall was 2 tefachim. Incidentally, how is it possible that this machlekes remain Rabbi Yehuda regarding the dimensions of the shulchan? Isn't it a psukim in the Torah? Amosayim arkoy v'amorachboy. Right, it's mefurish in the Torah exactly what it was supposed to be. So the Gemara is going to discuss it in the next staff, and the Gemara is going to say it's really totally in a bigger machlekes whether all the amos that are mentioned in the context of the Mishkan, were they amos that are made up of 6 tefachim or amos that are made up of 5 tefachim? So ordinarily, an amos made up of 6 tefachim. But there is a shita, and that is Rabbi Yehuda's shita in our Mishnah, that the amos of the Mishkan were not made up of 6 tefachim, rather they were made up of 5 tefachim. So if the shulchan was 2 amos long, it's not 2 times 6, it's 2 times 5. Thus, it's 10 tefachim. And if it was 1 amma wide, it's not 6 tefachim, but rather it's 5 tefachim. Either way, the Mishnah continues and says, V'arbos snifin shalzav hayusham, there were 4 pillars. We spoke about this previously. They were made up of gold, and their job was to support the breads. They stood alongside the shulchan. They supported the breads. Mefutzalim mirasheim, and there were little pegs that were pointing out the size of these boards. Shehayu saimchavehem shnayim l'sei d'zev, shnayim l'sei d'zev. And the purpose of these boards were to lean on the breads to keep them whole. V'chav ches kanim, and there were 28 little rods. Kechatzi kanim, it was really half rods. Cholo, they were hollow. The purpose of them were arba asal l'sei d'zev, yudal l'sei d'zev. 14 for one set of 6 breads, and the 14 for the other set of 6 breads. And they separated each row. And the reason they were the snifim, when the futsalim, the reason they had these pegs was to support these kanin that were going to be in between the rows of breads. More about this again in the next staff. The Mishnah continues and says, "Loi sidur kanin v'loi netilas and deiches haShabbos." That although so much of the menachos and so much of what went on in the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash was deiches Shabbos, but as it relates to taking these kanin in and out of the shulchan itself, they weren't deiches Shabbos. Now that's a problem, because when was the lechem aponim removed and placed on the shulchan? It was all done on Shabbos. So if it was all done on Shabbos and you can't remove the kanim or place the kanim on the breads, you can't touch the kanim on Shabbos, so what did you do? So the Mishnah says, "Alnichas me'erev Shabbos v'shaimtei." The kanim were removed on erev Shabbos. V'noisan la'arkei shalchuk, they're put next to the shulchan, and then on the day after Shabbos, on Sunday, they would go and they would put it back again. So as much as the kanim were there and they played an important role, we'll see that the psukim and the Torah that talk about these kanim, but at the same time, there was a short period of time where there were no kanim. Because being that the lechem apanim were going to have to be played with, removed, and placed on Shabbos, and on Shabbos, you can't touch these kanim, they're off limits, so you were mukhrach to remove the kanim, even though the breads are still going to be in the lechem aponim, erev Shabbos, and you couldn't put them back on until Shabbos. One final halacha: kol hakelim shayeh b'mikdash, arkan la'arkas shavayis. All the kelim on the mikdash, the way they were situated was along the length of the oyel mayim. Either way, a long mishnah. There were a lot of halachas in the mishnah, and now the gemara is going to dissect it case by case. Zok the gemara, kol menachas ish, and ma'isa kli b'bifneim. All the menachas had to be prepared in a venix, even though the shtei lechem and the lechem aponim, it's a machlekes tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda, exactly where they were prepared, were they prepared inside or were they prepared outside? But as it relates to the typical mincha, kol menachas ma'isa kli b'bifneim. Zok the gemara shalus Rabbi Zuminai. So they asked Rabbi, how do you know this? What's the makar? It's not a pasuk in the Torah. Amar lehem, so he told them, although it's true, it's not in the Torah anywhere, but Arei Yoimer, it's a pasuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel, of course, said Nevu about Bayis Shlishi, and one of the things Yecheskel was shown about Bayis Shlishi is Vayoimer Elai Zeh HaMokim. He saw the place Ashi Yevash L'Sham HaKayhanim, where the Kayhanim were cooking as Achatas V'Esa Asha, and then he saw the place Ashi Yoifu as a Mincha. He saw the place where the Kayhanim were baking the Mincha. Levilti Hoitzi El Achatzer HaChitzayna. And it was very clear that the Mincha
and the chatos and the asham were not allowed to be removed from the chatzer. Says the Gemara, mincha dum yad asham v'chatos. The pasuk equates the cooking of the chatos and the asham to the baking of the mincha. Ma asham v'chatos dun kli, just like the asham and the chatos require a kli shareis, they had to be done dafka inside. Af mincha nami tun a kli, so to the mincha had to be baked inside. And even though this is referring to the baking, but Chazal understood, Rebbe said this is the makar that all the preparations of the mincha had to be done inside. According to the man Amar that says Rabbi Yehuda that the walls of the lechem aponim were 2.5 tvachim each. Nimtza shulchan mekadesh chamisa tvachim lemayel. It comes out that the shulchan was mekadesh 15 tvachim high. How so? Because there were 6 breads that were all getting kedusha from the shulchan. Even had the shnei bezichei levoina. According to one man Amar, on top of the breads. So you had the 6 breads, 6 times 2.5 is 15. L'divrei ha'omer tvachayim, koifel koin to mandama, that says that each one of the walls was 2 tvachim, nimtza shulcha mikadesh yudbeis tvachim. So it's not 6 times 2.5, but rather it's 6 times 2, and as a result, what you had was 12 tvachim. Frek Gemara, is it only 15 tvachim, or is it only 12 tvachim? Va'ika kanim. What about the poles, those pegs that were in between the rows of breads? Didn't they take up space? So the Gemara says, Shekui Meshakulohu. They didn't take up any space because they sunk into the breads. So as a result, they didn't take up any added space. My time afraid the Gemara, I don't understand. Isn't the whole point of the kanim to separate between the breads? There should be rows, like trays of breads. You don't put one chal on top of another, you separate them with a row. So that if that's the whole point, and you're telling me now that they sunk in, they didn't even take up any physical space, so it sort of defeats the purpose. So why did we even have them for? Frey to Gemara, soif soif, kamiyafish lachem demigaba. Isn't it defeat the purpose? So the Gemara says, you're right, the magbalei porta. No, there was a little bit of space. That little bit of space prevented it from spoiling. Vayikahu porta. Okay, nemanav shachet, there's a little bit of space. So then it's not just 12 tfachim or 15 tfachim that the shulchan's being mekadesh. The shulchan's really being mekadesh more than that. So the Gemara says, kivin de lehavi tefach, being that little bit of space that the kanim took up were less than a tefach, it's not considered chashim, and it doesn't go into the equation. Meaning, in reality, it's true. The shulchan was mekadesh more than 12 tefachim and 15 tefachim, respectively, according to Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. The reason we mention 12 and 15 and not more, because that little bit of more is insignificant, it's an immaterial number, and as a result, it wasn't mentioned. What about the bezichei levoina, that pashup shat were on top of the breads? The shulchan was mekadesh that, the bezichei levoina took up space. So the Gemara says, begabi de lechem aviyasvi, they were inside the breads. What does it mean inside the breads? Because the breads had walls. Right, so the walls were 2.5 tvachim or 2 tvachim. The bezichei levoina was sitting inside the actual bread. Frey de Gemara, lubahadi lechem avikaim. For ikur kronos, what about the corners? The Mishnah mentioned that the lechem haponim had to have corners, 7 etzbois. So lechura, those corners, 7 etzbois times 6, that's going to take up a lot of space. So the Gemara says, "Kornis ligave the lechem kayef lohu." V'lechem alayu nachle. The way the corners were, they weren't pointing upwards. They were actually pointing inwards. So if you have a picture, you could refer to the picture. But it's not like the corners that were on the shulchan, that were on the mizbeach, that were pointing upwards. They weren't up, they were pointing in. As a result, from a height perspective, they didn't add any height to the breads. So the height of the breads remained 2.5 tfachim or 2 tfachim. Right, the Gemara v'ikum miskartoi. What about the miskeres? So the miskeres was a frame that the shulchan had. The Torah talks about the miskeres, and the Torah says that the miskeres was a tefach. So it's another tefach. You had the miskeres, a poshet. You understand that the frame, the makshin, the Gemara is understanding, it added a tefach of height to the shulchan. So again, the shulchan's being mekadesh the miskeres plus all the bread. So it's not 12 tfachim or 15 tfachim, it's 13 tfachim or 16 tfachim. So the Gemara says, Kemando Amar, this sugi is going like the mandama that holds miskarte lamato. So it's really machlokes whether the miskeres was lamailo or the miskeres was lamato. This Gemara is going that the miskeres was lima. If it was lamato, then it's underneath the shulchan. We're talking about how high the shulchan was mekadesh. According to the mando amah that goes, it was holds that it was lamaila. So what's he gonna say? Says the Gemara, Kudei have a mefrakto, velechem begabe the shulchan have a yosef. You have to say that the meskeres was a border. That's what it was. Meaning it didn't take up the entire space of the table, the entire space of the shulchan, but rather it was more of a border. And the border was facing out. A prakton is somebody that's leaning back. So it was leaning back. The point is you were able to put the breads on the shulchan without it going on the mascaras. So the mascaras was there, but it was more of an outside frame. It didn't add any height to the breads because it was bending backwards, so to speak. It was on the outside. Thus, the breads were not on top of the mascaras, adding another tefach to how high the shulchan was being mekadesh, but rather the breads were directly on the shulchan. And the Gemara says, "Kidetanya, it's a mefurish b'raisa." Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi says, "Lahoyu shom snifin ela miskartoy shol shulchan mamedes es halechem." Amrulay, they told him, "Miskartoy lamato haisa." Bottom line is, you see over here that there's a machloikis whether the miskeres was lamayla and the miskeres was le mata. Zokta Yomara. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said another halacha on the topic of the miskeres. But that says that this miskeres was not on top of the shulchan, but rather was on the bottom of the shulchan. Tavla hamisa peches tmeya. It's going to come out that a tavla, literally a tablet, a daf, something that's made out of wood, that only has a chashivus of a keli if it's turned upside down, is going to be mekabel toma. And really, the background to this halacha is that pshute kli eitz are not mekabel toma. There's a gzeres hakasev that says that wood, although it's mekabel toma, it's only mekabel toma if it has a receptacle. If it has a base kibble. But if it's smooth and there's no base kibble, the halacha is it's not mekabel toma. And we're going to see in a moment that Rabbi Yochanan had a raya that the shulchan in the base hamikdash was mekabel toma, and he was bothered. Why was it mekabel toma? Bishloimo, if you hold the mascaris, was lamaila. So the mascaris created a base kibble. That's the receptacle, the mascaris that's around it. Thus, it's not looked at pshute kliyetz. And being that it's not looked at as pshute kliyetz, it makes sense why it's mekabel toma. But according to Mandaman, that says the mascaris was lamata. So where's the base kibble? It's pshute kliyetz. Why is it mekabel toma? Says Rabbi Yochanan, you know what you have to say? That being that if you would flip the table upside down, the mascara says lamata, it would have a base kibble. Tavlo hamisapeches tmeya. The halach is it's going to be tummy. And apparently this was a shaila that Amiram weren't really sure of. Said Rabbi Yochanan that from this Gemara I have a raya that a tavla hamisapeches is mekabel toma. Says the Gemara, divrei mimiskar de lamaylo. Rabbi Yochanan continued and said that if you hold the mascara was lamaylo, tavla hamisapeches is lamaylach. I don't know. I have no hech. Not from here or from anywhere else, whether or not a tavla whose whole chashivos is the fact that it's misapeches would be mekabel tomo. But the Gemara says michal d'shulchan barkap leitomo. Clearly, Rabbi Yochanan is implying from his whole shmuz that the shulchan in the mishkan in the Beis Hamikdash was mekabel tomo. Frank the Gemara, why is it so posh that it's mekabel tomo? If anything, the Gemara argues, I think it shouldn't be mekabel tomo. You know why? Because kliyetsa asu lenachasu. Because isn't the shulchan a prototype? Isn't it a classic example of a kli eitz, a keli that's made out of wood, that was asu l'nachas, that's made to stay in one place? And the halach is v'chol kli eitz asu l'nachas, ein mekabel tomo, any kli eitz that's asu l'nachas, not mekabel tomo. My time, you're doing the sack b'inon. It's gzeres hakasev that the only time eitz is mekabel tomo if it's similar to a sack. And my sack metal tomo l'verek, just like a sack is something that people carry, whether it's empty, whether it's full. But the point is, a sack is a dover ha-metaltel. I've come metal tomo l'verek. The only time wood is mekabel tomo if it's metaltel. So the Gemara's kash is that Rabbi Yochanan is bothered that how is the shulchan mekabel toma? Where's the base kibble? So he said that if the mascaras was lamayla, I understand. But if the mascaras was lamata, l'chura doesn't have a base kibble. And Rabbi Yochanan wanted to be mechadish that you see from here that tavla hamis hapeches is mekabel toma. But the Gemara says, one second, you want the shulchan to be mekabel toma? Forget about whether it has a base kibble or not. It's anyways not mekabel toma, because it's asui lenachas. And there's another rule in Hilchas Tumah V'Taira that wood is only mekabel toma if it's metaltel. Dum yudesak be'inon. But being that the shulchan wasn't a dover ha-metaltel, so isn't it obvious anyways that it wasn't mekabel toma? Says the Gemara, it's not true. The shulchan really was a dover ha-metaltel. Incidentally, Tosfos asks, in light of the raid that we spoke about this morning, the shulchan wasn't mekabel toma? It wasn't a Dover HaMetaltel. They used to travel. Right? The Shulchan used to travel. We saw Psukim in Parshas Bamidbar. Kasha Yachanu came. You saw. That was the first Gemara on Daf Tzadik Hei, where the Gemara discussed the Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, while the Shulchan was traveling, whether the Lechem upon him that was on the Shulchan, was it possible Yotze, or did it not become possible Yotze? Either way, Tosfos asks the Kasha. It's a one-line Tosfos. Tosfos has a teretz here. Tosfos in the Masechtas Chagigas has another teretz. But regardless, it's muchach in the Gemara that the fact that the Shulchan traveled in the Midbar would not be a reason to view it as a Dover HaMetalto. Thus, the Gemara's Kasha, what's Rabbi Yechiron discussing the Shulchan being Makabal Tumah? It's a Kliyetza Asri L'Nachas. Says the Gemara, a beautiful teretz. You know what the teretz is? Kedere Shlokish. Damere Shlokish. Where Shlokish said a Dvar HaGadah. Maidach said, what's the Pshat in the Pasuk that says Ala Shulchan HaTahar? So the Torah refers to the Shulchan as a Shulchan HaTahar. Freit the Gemara, Tahar, Michlal De'ikotame. Seems to suggest that it's possible for the Shulchan to be Tameh. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? That how would it be Tameh? L'chura it's a Kliyetz Ha'asu L'nachas. Elam Alamid Rish Lakir said Shemagbi Noisa Eilir Golem. That when the Yidden used to be Eilir Regel, so the Kehanim in the Beis HaMikdash would lift up the Shulchan and they would show the Shulchan to the Eilir Golem. What was the purpose? Umar Eilir Lechem. They wanted them to see the bread and they wanted to see them to see that the bread remained fresh. Va'oimilam, they would tell them Re'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakoyim, that you see how much Hashem loves you. Look at the miracles that He performs. There was a tremendous miracle that used to happen weekly with the lechem aponim. See, lukai kisidur. Lechem aponim remained on the shulchan for a week. Usually, if you leave bread out for a week, you know what it tastes like. But that wasn't the way it was with the lechem aponim. Shenemar losum lechem cham b'yomi lachai. Not only was it fresh, it was hot. It was like it came right out of the oven. This is a week later. The bottom line is that you see from here that what? I mean, you see chibaschem lefnei hamakom, the miracle that happened with the lechem aponim. But that's not what we need for our sugya. What we need for our sugya, what's the punchline? The punchline is you see that they used to carry the Shulchan. Because when the Yidden used to be Oile Regel, they would lift up the Shulchan and they would show the Oile Regel Ru'uchi Baschem of Ne'amokon. The fact that it was lifted on Yontif, that's enough that it shouldn't be viewed as a Kliyetza Asu L'Nachas. We look at it as a Dabra Metaltel, and it's for that reason it's Mekabel Tomo. That's from Yechon Adakasha. How's the Mekabel Tomo? It's Pshute Kliyetz. Where's the base Kibel? So if the Mascaras was the mind, but if the Mascaras was the mind, that's the discussion, Rabbi Yechon. The Kasha was, isn't this discussion dead on arrival? Because it's anyways Kliyetza Asu L'Nachas. The answer is no. Because on Yontif, they used to lift up the Shulchan, and that made it a Dabra Metaltel. So before we go weiter, four. The first hour. So we mentioned over here that the Shulchan used to be lifted. It was lifted when the Yidden would come to be Oiler Regel. Remei Simcha in Meshech Chachma makes a beautiful day. We know that the Aron and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach all had poles. And the purpose of the poles were to carry the respective Kalim. Stating that, the Gemara, when it describes the poles and the purpose of it, the Torah, I should say, to carry those Kalim, the Torah uses a different Lashon for the Shulchan than it uses for the Aron and the Mizbeach. When the Torah talks about the Aron, the Torah says, Ve'veses abadim etaboyis al tzalois ha'aron. And what was the purpose of the badim? Loses es ha'aron bahem. The purpose was loses to carry the Aron. When the Torah talks about the Mizbeach, so the Torah says the Mizbeach had these poles as well. Ushtei tabizov tasalim mitachas azir, ushtei tzaloisov tasal shnei tzidov, v'hoyo levatim levadim loses oisoi bahem. Again, the purpose of it was to carry it. When the Torah talks about the Shulchan, again, losses, losses. That's the word. When the Torah talks about the Shulchan, Vasisa es habadim atzei shitim, v'tzipisa oisam zoha, v'nisavam es ha-shulchan. Torah doesn't use the lashon losses, but rather Torah uses the lashon v'nisa. Says Rameh Simcha in a classic Meshech Chachma. Why does the Torah use the word v'nisa? Why not the word losses? Losses suggests that it's just going to happen. V'nisa is a lashon tzivoy. Thou shall carry the Shulchan. Says Rameh Simcha, there was a mitzvah to carry the Shulchan. When? Says Rameh Simcha, Menachas Tav Tzadik Vavav Mbeis. It's also Gemara Chagigah Chavavav Mbeis. The Gemara says, when the Yidden came to be Eilu Regal, Melamit Shemagbi and Oysa Eilu Regalim, Umarin Leilechem, Va'omrim Lamruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakoyim. It wasn't a punct.
there was a mitzvah by the Aron, it was losses. If you had to carry it, you carry it. By the Mizbeach, it was losses. If you had to carry it, you carry it. But when it comes to the Shulchan, here the Torah says, V'asisa es habadim atzei shitim, v'tzipisa oisam zahav, v'nisa v'hem es ha-shulchan. V'nisa is a Lashon Tzivoy, says Ramei Simcha, and as a result, the Torah was Mishan of Lashon with the Shulchan, versus the way the Torah described it with regards to the other Kalim. That's the first Torah. The second Torah is I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim from David Yoel Weiss. Masechtes Chagiga. Again, this Gemara right here is also Gemara Chagiga Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis. So there's a Sefer Megadim Chadashim Masechtes Chagiga, and over there he has an Arichos on this Gemara. And one of the Ha'aris that he asks is based on a well-known Shitas HaRamban. The Ramban in Parshas Re'eh in two places. So this is Ramban in his Pirush Al Torah twice. Ironically, both times it's in Parshas Re'eh. One time it's in Devarim Perek Yudbeis. The second time it's in Devarim Perek Tazayin. The Ramban says a chiddush. The Ramban says that even though we know the Torah says many times Shalish Pamim Bashana Yerah Kol Schurchas Pnei Hashem Elokecha, that there was a mitzvah to be Oyler Regel, the Torah chazes it over again and again and again. Says the Ramban that this mitzvah to be Oyler Regel was only once the Yidden came to Eretz Yisrael. But when the Yidden were in the Midbar, even though there was a Mishkan. And when the Yidden came to Eretz Yisrael, even though there was Noiv and Givoin and Shiloi, there was no mitzvah to be Eilu Regel. The mitzvah to be Eilu Regel, says the Ramban, was Dafka when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban says it's really meduyik that way in the Pasuk. Shalosh pamim bashana, yeirah ekol zechurcha, es pnei Hashem aloikecha, bamokoi masha yivchar. Bechagam matzoiz, bechagam shvoiz, bechagam sukhoiz. But the Torah says, bamokoi masha yivchar. And the Ramban is not sure why the Torah said that. His second pshat, says the Ramban, is Oishe Yevar Kanchlo Yischayvu Lalei Soregel Adashe Yivchar Hashem Mokoyim L'shich Noisham. Incidentally, so this chiddush is Yodua in the name of the Ramban. There's a Rashi in Parshas Kisiso that's tucked away that not everybody knows. That's one of the places that the Torah talks about the mitzvah to be Oyler Regel. So it says Sholish Pamim Bashana Yerah Kol Schurcha Es Pneya Odoin Hashem Alikei Yisrael. And then the very next pasuk is Ki Oirish Goyim Miponecha. You're going to have a lot of land to settle in, the Jews, that is. So the Torah is talking about the mitzvah to be Oyler Regel. And the Torah throws in an interesting preface. It says the Torah, Ki Oyresh Goyim Miponecha, V'Hirchavti Es Kvula. What does that have to do with the mitzvah to be Oyler Regel? You can have so much place. Wow, the Yidden are going to conquer all this land. Keep Mashiachim, keep Mashiachim. You can have all this land that you're going to conquer. V'rchavti es kvulecha. And then again, you have a mitzvah of Shalish Pamim Bashana to be Oyler Regel. Says Rashi, that you know why the Torah throw in V'rchavti es kvulecha? It's the time. It's the time of the Kra. Why does the mitzvah to be Oyler Regel? V'rchavti es kvulecha, zok te eliger Rashi, that to rochik mi beis abchira. You're going to be very far from beis abchira. V'encha yochal eiro is lefan aitavid. And it's going to be very hard for you to come visit on a regular day. You live far away. You live in Bnei Brak. Okay? You're going to go to Yerushalayim. It's not so easy. So the reason there's a mitzvah to be Oyler Regel, says Rashi, is ki Oyresh Goyim Miponecha V'Rchavti Es Gvulecha. It's because of the Harchavas HaGvul. That's precisely for that reason. That's when the Yidden were in the Midbar. They didn't have the V'Rchavti Es Gvulecha. So it would make sense, based on Rashi, who's explaining literally a time of the crow, why there's a mitzvah to be Oyler Regel, that it's only related to once the Yidden settled in Teretz Yisrael. So it wouldn't explain why there's no mitzvah to be Oyler Regel in Goy, Noiv, Givoin, and Shiloh. But Al Kopanim, as it relates to being Oyler Regel in the Midbar, that you wouldn't have. So based on that, so I saw the Megadim Chadashim, he asks that according to the Ramban, which is really a Rashi also in Parshas Kisisa, that there was no mitzvah to be Oyler Regel when the Yidden were in the Mishkan, such a come out in Chesh, that the Shulchan, when it was in the Mishkan, was a Kliyetza Asin Lenachas. Because you were never metaltal it. Taisus already asked the Kasha, what do you mean? You were metaltal the Shulchan every time you carried. Vayhi bin Sayah HaShulchan. Kasha Yachar Kains, but Taisa answered. Whatever the Teretz is, it's a little unclear. Taisa Menachas Sadik Vav, Taisa Chagiga Chavav. There's two terutz at the Taisa's Kasha. But the bottom line is, Taisus was Mechiach from the Gemara that's not enough of a reason to make it a clean. That's also metaltal. The only thing would be the fact that they used to pick it up when the Yidden came to be Oyler Regel. The problem is, they weren't Oyler Regel on the Mishkan. And this pasuk that the Gemara proved
that the Shulchan became Tameh is a passing Vayikra, Perek of Dalet. The Samta Oysim Shtayim Marochi Shesha Marechas Al HaShulchan HaTohar. Tohar Michal Dekatameh. That was the Gemara's day. So it's interesting that we're dealing with a Pasuk that's describing the Shulchan and the Mishkan. That's the riot, it's Mekabel Tumah. And why do we saying it was Mekabel Tumah? Because they were Metaltalit. When were they Metaltalit? In Shlema Melech's Beis HaMikdash. Lachur in the Mishkan itself, it was never something that was carried. Thus, it would be a kliyetza, also lenachas, a fest to ha'ar. That's the second ha'ar. The third ha'ar is, we always speak out the Mishnah in the fifth parak in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah talks about the 10 nisim that happen every day in the Beis HaMikdash, or not every day, but constantly in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah does not mention the fact that the Lechem HaPonim remained fresh, mi Shabbos l'Shabbos. Not just that, the Rabbeinu Bachya in Parsha Sav, who has his extended version, we also talk about that all the time, of the Yudches Nisan that happened, it's not mentioned there either. So Yesh La'ayin, why it's not mentioned? What's particularly interesting is that we mentioned that one of the miracles that happened all the time in the Beis HaMikdash was the Ner Maravi. The Ner Maravi was the last one to be lit. It was the last. It was the first one to be lit. It was the last one to extinguish. That was the miracle of the Ner Maravi. What was the purpose, the punchline of the Ner Maravi? The purpose of it was to say Eidos that to a Shechina. This miracle had a different emphasis. The emphasis of this miracle was Reuchi Baschet Lefnei Amakim. So you see that not all miracles were created equally in terms of their purpose. What exactly they're coming to accomplish. There's a miracle like the Ner Maravi. What was the purpose of the Ner Maravi? We were medayik, if you remember the Taisus Yontif, that it wasn't just that one miracle, but all the miracles that are not mentioned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the tachlis of was Eidasu L'chol Boi Yolam Sha'ashina Sha'ir B'Yisrael. But the point is, there were miracles, the purpose of which was for us personally to benefit from. There were miracles, the purpose was to say Eidos that the Shechina. And then there's a miracle like this. The purpose of the miracle is Ru'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakim. Just one final ara, the fourth ara, and that is, so you see that there was a Nes Gadol, Nasa B'Lechem HaPanim, Si Lukai Kisidurai, that the Lechem HaPanim would remain fresh. Now, one of the things, one of the integral parts of the Shulchan was you had to have kanim. You had to have these poles, shelves, that separated the bread. What was the point? Kadesh Le'isaf shouldn't spoil. L'chayra, if there was a miracle happening anyways, so what's the point in having it? What do you need the kanim for? This is anyways, this is a Nes Gadol. Nes Gadol Hayashav, right? This is a Nes Gadol, Rebbe Shulchan Levi. It's not a small miracle. It's a big miracle. So L'chayra, if this is a big, there was a big miracle, it was a monster miracle happening every day in the Beis HaMikdash. And anyways, wasn't spoiling. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to make Kanim. What's the point of making Kanim? But of course, the answer is the Ramban in Parshas Noach. The Ramban in Parshas Noach asks that if you make a Cheshbin and you figure out the dimensions of the Teva, and then you factor in that the entire animal kingdom, male and female, plus Nayach and the guy and everything fit into this teva, it was all done on Derech Nes. So the Rabban says if it was all done on Derech Nes, then what was the purpose of even having a big teva? Not just that, Chazal say it took Nayach 120 years to build a teva. The Im Toymar, Frank the Rabban, Yasena Kitano, the Yisma Chalanes. You're anyways being Saimachananes. So what's the point? The Rabban says two terus. In the first teretz, Rabban says it's true. That really, a Kodesh Baruch could have made a Nes, it should not have taken Nayach this long to build a teva. The reason it took him this long is because Hashem wanted people to see Noach building the table. They can ask Noach, what are you doing? Hashem's going to bring a marble. What's the marble? One thing he was hoping, Ula Yasu Tshuva, Lashon HaRama. He was hoping that maybe Noach would be able to get his generation to do Tshuva. So you're right. Based on the Nes, it shouldn't have been this way. But there was an ulterior motive. But the Oid, says Rambam, but there's another pshat. Also, Oysa Gedoyla, you want to know why Noach made the Teva big? L'ma'it b'nes. Ki chen haderech b'chol hanisim shabetoyra u'b'nevi'im lasis ma shabiyad adam lasis. A person is supposed to make his tad even when it comes to miracles. You do whatever you could do. And even though, what do you mean? I'm relying on a Nes Gadol. So what's the point of my little Ishtadlis? Noach's Teva was also a Nes Gadol. But at the same time, the Kain Derech, B'chol HaNisim Shebetoyra, Oyvin Aviv. Last says, Masha B'yad Adam. Last says, and the Ramban says, if you look at every single Nes, I mean, the Ramban chooses his words very, very carefully. Ki chen haderech b'chol hanisim shabetoyu b'nevim. Says the Ramban, look carefully, there isn't one miracle where there isn't an idea of doing some level of ishtadlis to be b'mayit b'nes. L'chura, putting the kanim in between the breads, these shelves, this is probably the bim memayip nes that related to this nes, albeit this nes gadol. Regardless, zok de gemara vaitis. Again, we're in the middle of discussing Rabbi Yechonon's halacha. Rabbi Yechonon had arrived from a pasuk in Parshas Emor that the shulchan is referred to as a shulchan atar michal de ketoma. You see that the shulchan was able to be mekabel toma, and Rabbi Yechonon was bothered that how was it mekabel toma? Doesn't the shulchan was made out of wood, and being that it was made out of wood, it has a din of pshute kliyets, flat piece of wood. A flat piece of wood is not mekabel toma. Say if the miskeres was lamayla, I understand. But if the miskeres was lamata, then what's the pshat? Elamai said, Rabbi Yochanan l'chura, you have arrived from this sugya that a tavla hamis hapeches, a tavla that can be flipped, is also going to be mekabel toma. Incidentally, we explained the Gemara based on Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. There's a long place over here that brings a pshat from Rabbeinu Tam. That's the way we explained the Gemara. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi actually says a different pshat on the Gemara. But regardless, time to the Gemara, I don't understand Rabbi Yochanan anyways, because L'chaira, if it was made out of wood, which is what it was made out of, it's creates ha'asui l'nachas. Creates ha'asui l'nachas, not mekabel tuma. The Gemara answered that it wasn't asui l'nachas, because they were metaltalu when the Yidu used to come to be oiler regal. But the bottom line is that this whole sugya, this whole Amid Gemara, is all predicated on the fact that the shulchan is wood. Freit the Gemara, is that true? The shulchan at its core was wood, but it was coated with gold. So, Frank the Gemara v'tepeglei mishum tzipoy. Why don't we say that although at its core the shulchan was made out of wood, but being that it was coated with gold, we should look at it as zahav. We should look at it as matches. And all these halachas, the fact that when it's pshutei kliyets, it's not mekabel tuma, the fact that when it's asu lenachas, it's not mekabel tuma, these are all halachas in wood. But being that this was covered with zahav, it was covered with gold, so why are we treating it as wood? Maybe we should treat it as gold. Miloy tanan, isn't it a mefurish mishnah? Where is this mishnah? It doesn't sound familiar. It's in the 22nd parak of Masechtas Kelim. A shulchan, a table, or a tree, or a chair, that either got chopped up, or it was covered with marble, and there's a little bit of wood, a little bit of this wooden table or chair left over, enough that you could put a glass, a glazel. So the halach is tamein, it's still tamein, meaning once a keli loses its status, its keli, even if it was previously tame, it's no longer tame. Right? If a keli is tame and now it's not a keli anymore, it's nifcha, something happens to it, it's not a keli. So the question over here is this wooden table, for example, got chopped into pieces. And the question is, it's literally hanging by a thread. Is it still a keli? Is it still a table? It still has tuma? Or maybe no. Maybe it loses its tuma. So if there's enough space that you could put a cup there, it's considered tuma. Yehuda says, makam anachas chatichas. No, you have to have a whole meal over there. That's the place you can put a little bread and a side dish. As long as you can put a suda there, that would be enough for it to be mekabel tuma. But what do you see from here? Shir in loy shir loy. You want two examples of how the keli would no longer be a keli. How this wooden table would no longer be treated as a wooden table, thus it would lose its toma. Either it got chopped up, or it was coated. So what do you see from here? That when you coat something, it takes on a new status. If that's the case, the shulchan, which was wood, once it was coated with gold, you should look at it as a kli matches. That's the Gemara's kasha. V'chitei, it says the Gemara, maybe you're going to tell me, kam betzipoy oimid, kam betzipoy she'eni oimid. Maybe there's a difference between a coating where you literally nail the coating into the actual word, versus a coating which is a more superficial coating. And based on that, you'll tell me that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim is talking about where they plated it in a more significant way. Whereas the Shulchan was just plated more superficially with gold. As a result, it retained its status as a wooden keli. But the Gemara says it's not true. Because Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish asked this precise question to Rabbi Yochanan. That Mishnah that talks about a keli being plated and losing its status of tumah, is it if it's oimed only, or even if it's any oimed? Does it have to be literally banged in, or even if it's not? Another question he asked, does the rim of the table have to be covered as well? What if the rim wasn't covered? Does that make a difference? It doesn't matter if it was hacked in or if it wasn't hacked in. It doesn't matter if the rim was covered or wasn't covered. The halacha always is that once you coat a keli, it takes on a new status. Again, the shulchan wasn't, it was coated with gold, but it wasn't nailed in, but you see it it doesn't really matter. So again, why are we treating the Shulchan as a Kliyetz? It's anyways not a Kliyetz, it's a Klimatches. Because of the fact that it was coated with gold. Maybe you can tell me a different Teretz. You're going to tell me that the Shulchan wasn't made out of ordinary wood, it was made out of Atzei Shittin. And Atzei Shittin is very precious, very Choshev. So being that it's very Choshev, maybe it doesn't become bottle even to gold. Wood ordinarily becomes bottled to whatever covers it. But Atzei Shittim is so valuable, maybe that's different. But the Gemara says, Honey, that's all good according to Reish Lakish, who said, that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim is talking dafka about wood such as achsulgus wood, which is an inferior quality wood. It's not chashuv, thus it becomes bottled to whatever's covering it. Of a kli mismas. But if it's a more chashuv wood, it doesn't become batel, shaper, then it's very good. That's the answer. Atzei Shittim is like kli mismas, and as a result, it doesn't become batel to the gold. That's why it's kliyes. Ela the Rabbi Yochanan, but who is the one that said and commented on the Shulchan? It was Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan the Shittas, so he said, kli mismas nami batli, that even chashuv wood becomes batel. Is my ikula meimar. So why was Rabbi Yochanan treating the Shulchan in the first place as a kliyetz? Should he not have treated it as kli matches? Says the Gemara, gishmaketeret. Shani Shulchan, you have to say that the Shulchan is different. The Rachmana kari yetz. Because even though it's true, Shulchan was made out of eitz, it was covered with gold, and in halacha, as in Hilchas Tumah V'Taira, as in the 22nd we should look at it not as a wooden keli, we should look at it as a golden keli. But this is different. Here there's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and the pasuk clearly refers to the shulchan as a wooden keli. Shenemar hamizbeach eitz shalish amos gavaya va'arkei shtayim amos u'miktzois avloi va'arkei v'kirois av eitz. This is the second time it says eitz. Va'yedabre elai zeh ha'shulchan asher lefnei Hashem. So the pasuk over here is referring to the mizbeach and the shulchan, as we'll see in a moment. And the Torah refers to it as a keli that was made out of eitz. So at the end of the day, it's true, it was covered with gold, but being that Rachmana kari eitz, therefore in halacha, from a tumah perspective, we look at it not as a kli zah, but rather as a kli eitz. The Gemara asks that we mentioned this pasuk in Yecheskel, so b'derech agav, the pasuk starts off talking about the mizbeach, and then it talks about the shulchan, right? Amizbeach, eitz shalish amos gavoy ba'arkei shtayim amos u'miktzais avloi ba'arkei v'kirois av eitz v'yedabri elai zeh ha'shulchan asher lefnei Hashem. Pasach b'mizbeach v'sayim b'shulchan, says the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar dami travai b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim mizbeach mechaper l'adam. When there was a beis hamikdash, the mizbeach was mechaper. A yid would bring a carbon. Depending on the carbon, that's the kapara you got. But a carbon was always mechaper. But now that we don't have a beis hamikdash, so how do you get kapara? Shulchanay shalada mechaper loy. The person's shulchan can be mechaper. See, you want to know why the pasuk uses the word shulchan, referring to the mizbeach? We're somehow interchanging mizbeach and shulchan. We don't mean the shulchan shulchan. We're talking about every yid's personal shulchan. That once upon a time you needed the mizbeach to be mechaper, but va'achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kayim shulchan shalada mechaper loy. A person can get kapara through a shulchan. So how do you get kapara? By a shulchan. So Rashi says the noisem prutalani, that if a person gives food, he gives something to an ani, that's the way that he gets kapara. Tais says the same thing. Tais sends you to a gemara in Sanhedrin. It's not daf chof gimel. It's daf kuf gimel. It's a gemara parak chelik where the gemara says gedoyla v'gima. The gemara talks about the chashivos of achnasas archim, the chashivos of shearing and giving tzedakah, that again, through a person's shulchan, you invite archim, aniyim, to your house, you sit down at your table, and you mechaber them, and you do chesed, that shulchan is mechaper in the same exact way, in the same exact way that the mizbeach once upon a time was mechaper. My good friend Levi Chomsky showed me a Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Truma, where Rabbeinu Bechaya brings this Gemara, and he says two dvarim nifla. Number one, he says that the Shulchan was made up of Atzei Shittin. Why Atzei Shittin? Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, the word Shittin is an acronym. It's Rosh Tevois, Shalom, Toiva, Yeshua, and Mechila. That through the Shulchan, a person got Shin, which is Shalom, Tes, which is Toiva, Yud, which is Yeshua, it's worth repeating this, and Mem, which is Mechila. Now what's the beer advarim? Says Rabbeinu Bechaya. The beer is because the Shulchan is a Mizbeach Kapara L'Adam. V'alechem shal ha'shulchan hu chashuv to carbon al gabi ha'mizbeach. Kisha Adam toiv ayim meitev hu maichel shamanim. V'hu she'darshu azal ha'mizbeach eitz sholish amoyis v'yedabri la'izayel shulchan shulchan Hashem. Pasach b'mizbeach v'zayich b'shulchan, and he brings our Gemara. So you see from our Gemara the power of a Shulchan. And again, not the Shulchan, the Shulchan the Mishkan too. But every person's individual Shulchan. Every every shulchan is atzei shittim. Your dining room table is atzei shittim. How so? Shittim is shalom, it's toiva, it's yeshua and mechila. Then Rabbeinu B'chai says something else. He says, u'minik chasidim shebet sarfas. He heard that the chasidim in sarfas, Anshe Maisa, that were living in France, sha'oisem mishulchanim aron l'kfura. They had a minig that they would make from their aron that they were buried in, they would make it from their shulchan. And the reason they did it was to show that a person, when he goes into the next world, all his money and everything that he amassed and accumulated during his lifetime, he's not going to take it with him. It's only the tztaka that he did while he was alive. That's the only thing that he's going to take. And the toiva that he was metiv on his shulchan, that's what he's going to be able to take along with him. So says Rabbeinu Bachya, based on this idea that the shulchan is shalom toiva yeshua mechila, that the shulchan has this unbelievable kayach. And you see the schos that a person has when he's metiv al shulchan. It was for that reason that the minig of the chatzidim in Sarfas was shayu oisem mishulchanam aron lekfura. Reb Shai Lekaristir wrote in his tava, incidentally, that he wanted his aron to be made out of a shulchan. But it's a makar right here. It's a makar. It's a Rabbeinu Bachya goes to the Rishonim in Parashas Truma. Levi told me two stories. One with the Taz. They said that there was a woman that had a tremendous yeshua from the Taz. The Taz davened for a woman, and she had a tremendous yeshua, and she had a karas hatoiv to the Taz. So she decided that she's going to buy the Taz a new talis. What do you buy the Taz? So she bought the Taz a talis. So she comes to the Taz, and the Taz said, "I can't take it. I'm sorry, but I can't take it." And he said that even though his talus is old and it's not mahudr maybe, but he said his talus that he has is going to say edus for him one day for all the tefillahs that he daven, and he wants to continue to daven with this talus. He wants to be buried with this talus, so he can see edus b'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other story he told me is that after Meir Simcha was nifter, the Rogachava Goyen, so Meir Simcha and the Rogachava, they were both Rabbanim in the same city, right? The Meir Simcha was a Litvisher Rav in Dvinsk, and the Safnas Panech, the Rogachava Goyen, was the Chassidish Rav in Dvinsk. But either way, Ramei Simcha was Nifter first. And after Ramei Simcha passed away, the Rogachava Goyen said that you should take Ramei Simcha Shtender and you should make the Arum for Ramei Simcha Shtender. But again, these are Maisalach, anecdotes. But really, the source of it is a Rabbeinu Bechaya. Uminik Chassidim Shabbat Sarfas, Sha'oisem Mishulchanim Arum Lekfor. Again, what's the significance of the Shulchan, a person's table? Because that's where he does chesed. That's where he's machnas arech. That's where he has achnasas archim. And it's for that reason, that's what he's supposed to do. Take a look at the Marshah in this Gemara. The Marshah says, I think maybe there's another pshat over here, based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's Perek Gimel Mishnah Dal. Reb Shimon Omer, Shloisha she'achlo shulchan echad, three people that sit together and they eat at one table. V'lo yomru olav divrei Torah, and they don't talk in learning. Ki ilu achlu mizivchei mesen. Shenemar ki chol shulchanos malu kit soya b'li makom. Avos shloisha she'achlo shulchan echad. V'amru olav divrei Torah. But three people are sitting on a shulchan, and they do say divrei Torah ki ilu achlu mishulchanos makom. It's as if they're eating from the shulchan of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'yedaber elai zeh hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. Says the Marsha, take a look at that Mishnah, and I think that's pshat in this Gemara. What does the Marsha mean? It's pasha what he means. What does it mean ki ilu achlu mishulchanos makom? We know the Gemara says kaihane mishulchan gavaya kazachu. The Mizbeach is referred to Shulchan Shamakim. When the Kayim would put the Chalavim and the Imurim on the Mizbeach, the Torah refers to it as Achila. B'shtei Achila is Hakasim Medaber. Echad Achilas Adam, ve'echad Achilas Mizbeach. The Kayhanim, when they ate, it was Mishulchan Gavaya Kazachu. They were eating Mishulchan Shamakim. Shulchan Shamakim is the Mizbeach. Shloisha Sha'achlu al Shulchan Echad, ve'amru al of Divrei Torah. It's Mizbeach. It's Ki'ilu Achlu Mishulchan Shamakai. They just created a Mizbeach. They have the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach's tachlis is, it's Mechaper. Zokta Marsha, that Rule Divrei Rashi V'Tosfos, I would think it'd be a beautiful pshan in this Gemara. What did the Gemara say? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Ami Chavayu. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam. But V'achshav She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, Shulchan Shal Adam Mechaper Al Adam. But the Gemara is very sussum. What does it mean the Shulchan is Mechaper? So Rashi and Tosis both said, if you do achnasas archim, you're going to get kapar. It's the mitzvah of chesed. It's the mitzvah of achnasas archim. Says the Marsha, I don't think you have to say that. It's a Mishnah. You know what it means when you learn Torah on your shulchan? Shloisha she'achlo al shulchan echad. V'amru all of divrei Torah. What does the Mishnah say in Avos? It's ki'ilu achlu mishulchan eshamakayim. Oh, if it's ki'ilu achlu mishulchan eshamakayim, it's based on that that a person, regardless, if a person learns Torah at a shulchan and he's machnes Torah, he does chesed on a shulchan, there's nothing to talk about. The shulchan one day will say edus on a person, and that's as it relates to one day. But on this world, the person shulchan, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, was made up of atzish. The shulchan in the Beis Hamikdash was made up of atzish shitin. Every shulchan has the qualities of atzish shitin. What's shitin? It's shalom. It brings peace. It brings taiva. It brings yeshias. It brings mechila.